Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the second episode of Go Big with B. I am your host, Bailey Ortega, and I'm so excited to be having our first guest, Jade Demps. Jade, welcome to the podcast. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. It's been a long day, but I was looking forward to this all day. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, no. For those of you who don't know, Jade is my teammate on the volleyball team and one of my best friends here. She's made this transition so easy. I have the best time with her. So it was a no-brainer when I was thinking about who to have on the podcast to be my first guest, because I knew it would be so easy to just sit here and talk with her for hours, which we won't, but I always love talking with her, talk with her every single day, 4 hours on end. So very exciting. So we will just get right into it. We're going to cover a little bit of everything, but I just want listeners to leave knowing a little bit more about Jade as a person, because everyone can know what she's like on the volleyball court and see that side of her, but really getting to know Jade Demps the way that I know Jade, because I love her as a person. She's one of my favorite people on the planet, and I hope that everyone gets to see the amazing person she is through this episode. So starting off simple, just tell me a little bit about yourself, Jade.
Well, I'm from North Carolina. I went to Wisconsin before I came to LSU. I transferred about a year ago. I've been playing volleyball for about 11 years now. Before that, I did track and basketball growing up, so I just kind of was doing everything.
We were hoopers back in the day, you know, just really big time hoopers. Just had to point that out.
Exactly. I guess a little bit else. I really like fashion. That's kind of one of my hobbies that I've discovered as of late. It's kind of hard, honestly, to really find something when you're a student athlete, but that's one of my things. So
I like it. Moving right along to the next question. What role has sports, you obviously mentioned track and basketball or volleyball, played in your life growing up?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like I said, I've been doing that for the majority of my life. I've been doing a sport for longer than I haven't been doing a sport. And I think that it's genuinely taught me so much about how to work with people and how to operate and take feedback that I've been given and apply that, which I think it's going to really pay out in dividends when I am not here anymore, not playing. I think additionally, what's interesting is since I did track, what I did was a lot of field events, and a lot of those are individual events. Mm-hmm. And I feel like from that, I was able to gain this sense of self and able to regulate myself. And then also having the teamwork with volleyball, I feel like that's just come together really well. So I feel like I'm good at self-regulating. That's a big thing that I've gotten from sports. Mm-hmm. And I have a great work ethic, you know? You gotta have that to get here. So definitely got that. But yeah, it's shaped my life entirely, honestly.
Would you say that the skills you've learned and developed through sports and athletics in your life transfers into other areas of your life? And if so, how?
100%. I mean, already to be a successful athlete, you have to have confidence. I think that's a huge thing. Not a lot of people know that or even just think about it, but you do. I mean, that's how you perform in big moments. And so I feel like from that, that allows me to be confident when I'm going into a new situation, or if I'm in class and I have a question, I'm going to ask it, because that also comes with, I feel like, the teamwork aspect of having to think about other people. I often think, I'm like, okay, if I have something, other people probably have this as well. But other than that, I feel like I said earlier about being able to take feedback and receive criticisms, because that is such a hard thing. It is so not human to be able to take criticisms well, but that's how you get better. Mm-hmm. And even if it's something you don't want to hear, through sports, I've been able to learn how to take that and apply that, or even take a step back, try and evaluate the actual information, the good stuff, and then apply that to my life.
Would you say that is the biggest lesson you've learned in college volleyball, is taking criticism? Or would you say there's something else that's even bigger than that that you've learned along the way?
I think the biggest lesson that I have learned is to have confidence in yourself. And like I said, you have to have confidence to be a great athlete, but you you don't just start with that. Mm-hmm. You have to find that in yourself. And oftentimes when I was growing up, I didn't know what was so great about me, genuinely. Like, I would do well with the teams that I was on, and I didn't really know why. And I'd like talk to coaches, colleges, and recruiting, and I just never really saw what it was. Mm-hmm. But once I started to kind of realize, okay, like, I am good, and like I believe in myself, it brings a belief, mm-hmm. which just I feel like improves your game that much more, because you can do all these skills so many times, but we've all had times if you're in athletics where it's not clicking. But that confidence and that belief is how you get back.
Are there any things or techniques, strategies in particular, whether it's, I hear like positive self-talk, visualization, are there any things that you did specifically to build your self-confidence, whether it was through sport or off the court?
Yeah. So actually I have two things right off the bat. This is interesting. When I was still at Wisconsin, mm-hmm. there was a bit of time where we had kind of an odd lineup, just we had some people get hurt, and so we had to go with the flow, right? Mm-hmm. And part of that, I was serving, and before I hadn't been at all. Mm-hmm. And I have always had a good serve, but for whatever reason, I had been struggling with it. And through that, we had a mindfulness coach. And some of the things that really helped me is oftentimes, if I'm off or even if I have a second before I go to serve, I'll do a power pose. And I stand there.
Come on, power pose.
Also, I heard about it one good time a while ago, and I was like, that's a great idea. Uh-huh. Let me do it. And then I brought it back, and then I applied it. So mm-hmm. I feel like that's one thing that's really helped me, because even if that's not real, the placebo of me thinking me doing this is going to make me more confident, why wouldn't I do it, right? Why wouldn't I do it? Exactly. Exactly. And also with that, we talked a lot about the eye of the storm and like how you are and what's your mind like in the eye of the storm. And that mm-hmm. was a huge thing, because in serving, it's just you. It's all eyes on you. It's literally the one skill in volleyball that you can control entirely. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that helped me with that was breathing. That's a big thing in mindfulness. And I had like a routine. There's a couple different techniques that you can use, mm-hmm. but I always make sure, and even to this day, it's in my routine, where I get back there, I take a deep breath after I've done my little routine, and I'm good. Mm-hmm. Like, I give myself confidence with that. It's just, it helps for that routine helps you to feel comfortable, mm-hmm. I guess.
For sure. So, next question. This is tailored more towards our younger athletes that could be listening, or even parents that are listening. What would you say is something that you wish you had heard, a piece of advice that you would give your younger self, or again, the younger athletes that could be listening?
I think, this is funny, I'm just gonna sound like an inspirational poster, but.
Get it on a TED Talk, people.
No, exactly. Like the little cat that's like hanging off the tree and it's like, hang in there. No, but still, honestly, a lot of it, especially with people that are growing, or if you're relaying this message to young girls, it's like I said, so much about confidence. Even like you do a skill so many times, it might not work out. And I think a big part of that actually is to celebrate the good. That's a mm-hmm. huge, huge thing, is celebrating the good, because especially in the sport of volleyball, and this goes for a lot, but especially the sport of volleyball, it's a game of mistakes.
No one scores unless someone makes a mistake.
Somebody has to, yes, yeah. Exactly. Somebody has to make a mistake for you to score. Mm-hmm. So they're going to happen, and being able to let go of those. We say in our gym, we say one is one. When we make a mistake, it happens. You know, you try your best, you mm-hmm. do it, but you just learn from it. You grow from it. That's a big thing, is as easy it is for me to say to not let yourself get down from mistakes. That's a big thing.
Yeah. No, whenever we talk about this, I always think of I don't know if the younger athletes are too young, but like the Hannah Montana, everybody makes mistakes. You know what I mean?
Everybody
it's
has
so
those
true,
days.
Though. And I feel like it can especially be tough. Like I think of other sports that like baseball, like failure is a norm. And that's the same. Like if no one made a mistake in volleyball, the ball would literally never touch the ground and the play would never end. Mm-hmm. And that's just truly how it is. So I love how in our gym, like Kevin and all of them always have those like next play, one of one. I feel like it's just such, I love having that in our gym. And I love when it like oozes to all of us and you can just see it in our play and it just transitions. Mm-hmm. I love it so much.
I actually have one more quick thing.
Go ahead.
Also, try your hardest to be coachable. that's a huge thing, especially when you get into the recruiting process, because coaches talk a lot. Mm-hmm. And aside from that, aside from the coaches are going to be like, yeah, she's coachable, that's just going to help you. Mm-hmm. Like, the way that I approach feedback and criticism is I'm like, okay, great, you believe in me. Mm-hmm. Because that's a thing is when a coach doesn't care anymore, that's when they stop talking to you. Mm-hmm. That's when they're not going to give you any more feedback. But they're going to give you the most when they see potential and when they know that you want it. Mm-hmm. So that's just another thing.
What would you say are some things that athletes can do, like actual things they can do to be more coachable, whether it's eye contact or whether it's like, what are some things that they can actually do to be like, okay, I know I'm being coachable because I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one thing that helps a lot, eye contact, obviously. Mm-hmm. I feel like communication, even after, if there's something quick a coach says, being like, okay, or got it, or gotcha, something quick to just affirm that you're listening to them, you're taking in this information. I know that that helps them to be like, okay, am I getting through to her right now? Like, mm-hmm. can I even give this information? Is this going anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a huge thing. And that's for just outwardly projecting that. Mm-hmm. But then again, trying to understand for yourself of they're just trying to make you better. And one thing that I feel like people don't realize enough is that you can ask questions. That's my mm-hmm. favorite thing to do. I love to talk, as you can probably tell. I don't really know if you can tell. But I love to talk, and I love to ask questions. I feel like open dialogue is the best way, because you can get an insight into what the person see, like mm-hmm. what they see. If you're not sure what they saw, or you're like, hey, I felt this. But approaching it in a way that is a two-sided conversation, mm-hmm. that's a big thing.
So we've talked about what you would tell younger athletes. So what is something that you are currently struggling with, whether it's volleyball related, school related, personal, like what is just something that you are currently struggling with right now? And how are you working to get through that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think outside of volleyball, something that I'm struggling with, just especially because I'm currently a senior. There's a little something else about me. So I'm currently a senior, which that comes with a lot of different things, right? Obviously, mm-hmm. last season, so a lot of preparation going into that, trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life, trying to make sure school's going all right. I mean, trying to take advantage of NIL while I can. Mm-hmm. And this is, Bailey here has been a great help with that. She's like my, I don't know what I would do without her in the NIL world. I would continue to not do anything, basically. Anyway, it's just, for me, it's time management. Mm-hmm. And then also being okay where I am. I get a little too in the future sometimes, where I'm like, oh my God, there's so many things I have to do. And I instead of taking care of the present. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely something outside of volleyball. I'd say inside of volleyball, something that I struggle with is I can be a perfectionist a lot. And because especially, like we said, game of mistakes. So it's hard to be a perfectionist when you're doing that, mm-hmm. because there's like something little could be wrong. The wind could be just wrong. The yep. air could be
the air conditioning
a little
is
humid.
Going just one certain way,
just
and the serve
a certain way. Yes. This volleyball isn't as inflated as the next one. It's actually 2 centimeters off.
Like has a few scuff marks on it.
Exactly, it's got a couple scuff marks on it. Like so I'm a perfectionist, and something will happen, and I'll immediately be like, what happened? Mm-hmm. Like, and it doesn't necessarily cause frustrations all the time. It's mm-hmm. just that sometimes I get it too in my head, where I just think a lot, mm-hmm. and then I'll be asking my coaches questions, and Kevin does a great job about this, and I appreciate it so much, because he'll yeah. be like, it's okay.
Yes. No, I seriously yeah. have never, I don't want to say I've never, but like an entire coaching staff where they all are just like, hey, like, it's okay. Like next ball. And you can actually like feel, it's like, because I feel like with coaches, sometimes you can feel like a pressure, especially mm-hmm. like you want to be coachable and you want to be perfect. So I feel like having a coaching staff, that's something that I looked for in my transfer portal process, which we'll get into with you, is having coaches that genuinely are like, you know what, it's okay. And they're okay with the process. I feel like we hear process mm-hmm. in our gym we every do. Single day. And it's just process, process,
trust
process.
The process.
Yes. And I feel like that can go to so many things in life, which is why I love that our coaches bring that up every day, because it's something that I feel like I'm constantly saying to myself is the process, mm-hmm. the process, trust it. So
absolutely. Mm-hmm. I can tell you it, in my life, in both the gym and in the weight room with strength and conditioning, that has been such a big thing for me, because there are things I'm trying to improve in both aspects, and mm-hmm. I've been really trying to buy into trust in the process, and I'm seeing those results. Mm-hmm. And though one day it might not be great, that's been an emphasis for me as well, as being like, it's okay. Yep. Like, you're going to have ups and downs. Mm-hmm.
So, as I said earlier, coming from the transfer portal, you talked about Wisconsin a little bit. I would love to just hear you talk about why you entered the transfer portal, your recruiting process, how you got to LSU. I feel like the transfer portal can be this super big, scary thing. And it's becoming kind of a norm in the collegiate athletic space. So I'd love to hear about that process with you.
No, that's so true. And because it kind of is a leap of faith. I mean, you jump and you don't know where you're going to land. Like, and so it can be scary. And honestly, during it, it was scary. And even approaching it, it was. But I'm very happy with where I am now. So it's worked out really well. So I guess why I transferred, first of all, I want to say that Wisconsin was a great place. I absolutely loved the program, like the culture, the teammates, everything about it. Like even now I'll look back at stuff and I'll be like, man, I missed it. Mm-hmm. But at some point I just realized that it was time for something different in my career where the role that I had there, I was kind of a utility player, which was great because it worked well for that team. And that was something that I was very conscious about, was I'm going to do whatever I can for this team, even if it's at times not exactly where I want it to be or what I wanted to do. If I found something that I could do to help, I was going to do it. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm still a competitor, so I was still ready to, you know, try to take a spot. That's obviously how it should be. But it's just at some point I realized, I was like, you know, I want more for myself. I want to do more. And then looking into the portal, seeing LSU, I feel like I just saw so much potential with that. Talking to the coaches, it's funny, I came on my visit, like I said, so I transferred about a year ago. And when I came, there was no one on campus because everyone was gone for break.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you could lay out the timeline, like when you entered the portal, when you started going on visits, like what that was like too. Yeah,
so, because it was a really quick turnaround for us, especially because my team that last year, we went pretty far. We made it to the Elite Eight. And
slight flex. Sorry. Continue.
You asked for the timeline.
Okay. Yep.
Like, continue. We made it to some random tournament.
Yeah, just whatever. Yeah.
Like something.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so we got out in the Elite Eight, right? And then kind of shortly after that, I had concluded that I did, in fact, want to enter the transfer portal. And I'll be honest, it was something that I had thought about for a while. Now, while I was there, I was all in. That's always my thing is, again, it's the same thing of, if I'm going to be doing this role, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. Even though I had thoughts, I was still all in while I was there. I was still going to be there for my team as much as I could. And then also because I wasn't going to waste any opportunities to improve myself. So once I decided, it was a really quick turnaround. Talked to my coach. Had honestly a really good conversation. He was super supportive, which was really nice, honestly, especially because, like I said, it's scary. And it's nice for the person that you're being like, hey, sorry, I'm going to leave, to, you know, support you in that. So shortly after that, I started talking to coaches and trying to set up visits and whatnot, trying to figure out what my housing situation would look like. Because that's another thing you don't really think about is, like, you got a sublease or you still have to pay for your place. So figured all of that out at the end of December. I went on two visits, one to NC State, that's back home, and one to LSU. That was early January. And I decided on my visit that I was going to come to LSU.
I didn't know that you committed on your visit.
I committed on my visit. I literally, like I said, and that was the second one that I went on. I was still talking to other coaches and Zooms and whatnot, but I came here. Nobody was even here. That's why I think it's hilarious. It just shows you, like, I truly, truly believe and love the coaches so much and just hearing from them. And even a big thing for me that I always say is that the community here is amazing. Like, that was something I noticed instantly, is that the people here act like everyone is family. It's one thing to say that you have a good culture within a team or, like, a program, but the culture in Baton Rouge and just around LSU was so awesome to me. I mean, I felt so welcome when I first came here. I remember I was, like, walking around on my visit, and they introduced me to this guy, and then he was like, well, like, can't wait to see it again, like, or whatever. And then I saw him later, and he was like,
uh-huh.
I was like, told you. Yeah. And I was like, okay, you got me. But no, it's actually, I'll tell you a little bit the story of me coming, just because it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So we actually were going around all day. I got in one night, and then most of my visit was the next day. Mm-hmm. And we went to the Barnes & Nobles that is over yonder. Mm-hmm. And we went to the Starbucks that was in there, and we had just been talking all day, and it was really awesome hearing what they wanted from me. And what I really appreciated is that they were very straightforward with me, which part of that is because you're a transfer, so, like, you know, you kind of know what's going on. They're not going to be like, ah, you know, this is college, because you already know what college is, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
But even still, they were very upfront with me, and a big thing for me was they didn't, like, straight up offer or promise any sort of time or anything. They were still very much like, here's what we see. Here is the role that we need, and you can fill that.
Yep.
But we're not going to promise anything. You still have to work for it. And I was like, that's a green flag.
Because absolutely.
That's exactly what I wanted. I don't want to be somewhere that I'm being promised time. I want to be pushed still.
Yeah.
So that automatically, like, sent off. I was like, this is great. Mm-hmm. And I remember I went into the bathroom. I was like, can I go to the bathroom really quick? And I called my mom, and I was like, Mom, I think I'm going to go to LSU. I was like, yep. I've decided. Aww. And what's funnier is Jill, one of our coaches, it was her anniversary that day, right? And her husband had said that, like, the best gift that he could have gotten was me committing, I think. And so here's the thing. And so I go back out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we talk for some more time just about everything and what I was looking for. I was looking for people that cared about me, kind of what we said earlier. Mm-hmm. And I felt that from them. That was a big thing, is I wanted to know that you care about my improvement and my well-being, right? And so I went back out there, and then at the end of our conversation, Tanya straight up was like, so, like, do you want to be a Tiger? And I sat back for a second, and I went, well, all I have to say is, Jill, happy anniversary. And they were like, it was great, and we all, you know, we, like, celebrated, like, hugged and everything. And it was awesome. So
I love that.
I don't know why we were talking about that, but
well, it's funny hearing you talk about the community down here, like, in Baton Rouge and at LSU especially. I agree, coming from two people from Big Ten schools and in the Midwest, when there's not much to do other than
support the schools.
Yes, but support those Big Ten schools. So it's interesting hearing how coming down here, like, the community down here, because I feel like that was something I was nervous about. It was like, at Iowa, it's like die hard Hawkeyes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how am I ever going to find this anywhere else? So it was almost like refreshing to come down here and be like, wow, like, I can have this here. And it's so amazing. And everyone's so nice. Like,
no, absolutely.
It's really cool.
And a big thing for me also that stuck out was how many people were in Baton Rouge or around LSU, left, and then came back.
Yes. Like our coaches.
Like our coaches. That's a prime example. Like, when I was thinking about that, I was like, man, like, you guys really liked it here. Uh-huh. It must be something in the crawfish, or I don't know. Like, it must be good. Something's bringing everybody back. So I was like, I gotta go check it out.
That's funny. Okay, so next question. Who is Jade Demps in a few words? You can use a few as, like, 5 or 10, whatever you think. But, like, if you had to pick a few words on who is Jade Demps, like, as a person, what are the words you're using?
Okay. I just stopped myself from being dumb, because I was gonna be like, gorgeous. Just intelligent.
Stunning. Amazing.
Stunning. No, okay.
She has all of those things, but we'll tone it back.
No, okay. I would say goofy. I'd say thoughtful. I'm trying to pick, like, one more good one. Competitive.
The tone change on competitive was hilarious. Competitive.
Goofy, thoughtful, competitive.
But those are true. And how do you think those translate to sport? Because, again, like, I think it's important that we realize that, like, we are just humans, but, like, also, like, one of the great things is all of the great characteristics we have as humans can translate over to our sports. How do you think those things translate over and either shine in sports or help you in sports?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think, like, my entire style of play really shows with that, because I mean, talking about me being goofy, I mean, that's how I bring a lot of energy through that. Like, I'll be locked in, but then one second I'll be like, hey Bailey, hey Bailey. And we're just doing whatever, you know, especially even if we need to lighten the mood or if that's like how I can help my teammate out in a second, like, hey, you know,
yeah,
do something funny or stupid and we're back laughing, right? Mm-hmm. Back on the right track. I think with being thoughtful, it helps a lot because I just kind of enjoy thinking, especially about volleyball and looking at different perspectives. I love hearing different perspectives of like, there's so many different ways you can see something. So if I can hear all of those and put that in my toolkit and put that in my line of thinking, I love that. Like that's, so I don't know, just being thoughtful with that. And then, I mean, competitive, that is just, it just shows up everywhere. Obviously in a sport, being competitive is helpful. I mean, it's, sometimes it's like, maybe I shouldn't. Like my boyfriend, we had to stop playing games for a while because he wouldn't play them with me anymore because I was too competitive.
That's how I am. That's how I am with my family. My family will sometimes like hate game nights with me. And I'm like,
yes,
I'm sorry.
Yes. No, literally. No, the other day. Well, see, that's nice is because my mom, that's where I get it from.
Oh, yep.
So it's like her, you know, kind of going back and forth. But like literally the other day I was doing a warm up on a bike for my lift. And it was like this interesting, had like a screen and there was like these dudes riding and they were like, here's your pacer up here. And I was like, I've got to catch this guy. And this is not even my workout like at all. Like I chose to do this to warm up. And I was like, where's that yellow shirt? Yeah. I was like, I got to catch this guy. And I was like, let me get off of this bike and go do my actual work.
Like, no, even like walking to class, I'm like, it's like walking to people.
I'm beating you.
Yeah, literally. I'm like, oh, you want to walk faster? I can walk faster.
Yes, like, I'm like, are you trying to race?
Seriously. Oh.
Like literally.
That's funny. Okay, next question. What are some hobbies that you have outside of volleyball?
Eating.
That's actually how Jade and I bond the most.
No, actually though, that or like shopping or thrifting specifically. Yeah. Unfortunately, my hobbies include spending money, which—
What hobbies don't?
Right though, I was gonna say though, like, to indulge in anything, you kind of gotta, like, I can't make mud pies anymore.
Yeah,
you
know? Like, I like to frolic in the fields.
When I was
like,
younger, right.
What? Honestly, that might cost money, having to get into certain parks and like.
Facts. They're like, actually, your frolicking fee is 2 cents an hour.
Actually. Okay.
Literally. No, okay. I enjoy fashion. I kind of mentioned that earlier. So that's a big thing is I just like putting together, like, outfits and whatnot and just getting creative. I feel like it's a creative outlet for myself a little bit. What else do I like to do? Well, like I do like to eat. I'm being serious. Like,
yeah.
Cause I really, really enjoy trying foods from different cultures. Like that is my favorite part about traveling is, and honestly, not gonna lie, half of where I wanna go to travel depends on how good the food is gonna be. I'm like, but am I gonna be like, you know, so that's definitely a big thing. I like trying that. And just because I feel like it helps me to learn and explore different things and places and, you know, get out of my comfort zone a little bit even.
Yeah.
Oh, I like to play video games a lot.
I was waiting for you to bring this up. So I guess you're going to say it or do I have to? Like,
see, no, because I'm more open about it now because I used to be like, I play video games.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys play anything? It's like, no, but I enjoy doing that. That's definitely a way that I will like decompress a lot or whatever, especially because it's like I can put my focus elsewhere, even though sometimes like I'll just like zone out in the game. I'm like focused, but I'm still like relaxed.
Yeah. Okay, so next question. You talked about traveling and food and how that kind of intertwines. What is your top travel destination that you've never been to? You're like, I have to go here.
Okay. I think, you know what? Because now that I've thought about it, I don't know how the food is there, but I really want to go to Bali. I've obviously never been there.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it. I've seen pictures and stuff, though. That looks quite amazing. Actually, you know what? No. Okay. So I'll encapsulate more of like a full, because that's more vacation vibes. Okay. I am very much a beach person. If I go on a vacation, not mountains or beach. Sorry.
Sorry, but.
Sorry, not sorry. I would say probably like Japan. Really? I would love, or like Korea, like South Korea or something. Like I would absolutely love, because like I said, I kind of already enjoy, I really, really love like Asian foods. And I'm saying that as a whole, like I mean like literally all the different subsects and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It's, I love it. And just the culture is so fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. So that is probably where I'd want to go.
Okay. Okay.
Wait. Also, favorite hobbies, self-improvement. We both like that. We have the same color nails. So, oh, you can't even see it.
You
can you?
I mean, you kind of can. It depends on the light.
Well, oh, there you go. There you go. You
yeah, this also wasn't intentional. So
not
for,
intentional.
For those of you who aren't watching on video, Jade and I have the exact same color nails. And it wasn't intended. And then we left the nail salon and we were like, wow.
We were like, wait a minute. It wasn't even like we chose the same thing. No. It was like we took two different routes and yes. ended up with the same nails.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's just the best. Also, random fun fact while we're talking about how we're the bestest of friends. Jade and I have the same birthday. Mm-hmm. October 17th, we'll be expecting all of your birthday wishes, guys. Mm-hmm. 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 Okay, moving on to the next section of questions relating to music. If you could listen to one genre of music forever, only that genre, like it plays on the radio, it plays everywhere in the elevator, anything, what genre are you picking? And why?
Okay, let me think. I think, does it count with like, okay, because I'm thinking I kind of like old stuff. So I wouldn't consider myself an old soul. Maybe I'm like a middle-aged soul. I love throwbacks, but I don't know if that's a genre. So I'll say like R&B.
I mean, you could say like 2000s, 90s R&B.
Okay,
that counts as a genre.
Okay, let's go with that.
Okay.
Actually, no. they're not going to be more. So I'm just going to say R&B. See, this is where, like I said, I'm super thoughtful. I just love thinking. This is like, I shouldn't be thinking this hard about this, but I am.
But I love it, as you should. Mm-hmm. Okay, next question about music. A must-see concert.
Bruno Mars.
We've talked about this now that you just said that. Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay, what's the one song that you would love to hear Bruno Mars sing live? That's a really tough question.
That is a tough question.
Because I'm like, do I want to rip my heart out of my chest with like grenades?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Or when I was
that.
Your man.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
Or
my
do first... I want some like 24 karat magic?
No, I was going to say my first thought was 24 karat magic.
Yeah, or like Locked Out of Heaven.
No, he's just got so many.
Yes.
He's got so many. Have you like,
treasures?
Are you kidding me?
Just keep going.
How is that much talent in that small man's body?
I saw a video and it was like, when is Bruno Mars just gonna like drop another life-altering album?
No,
and I'm like, I'm waiting.
No, seriously, because like I have yet to, knock on wood, but like I have had luck with my relationships, but when I Was Your Man comes on, I'm experiencing
crazy
emotions that I never thought were possible.
Oh, I'm channeling a whole different side of me.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm like, I can't believe I let her go. Who is her?
Literally.
Who is her? Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, I should have bought you flowers. I'm like, no. Who am I talking about? Yeah.
I agree. I'm with you on that one. Okay. Last two questions. Here we go. So I love to read. It's one of my favorite things to do. So I'm going to ask if you have a favorite mm-hmm. book. And if you don't, we can just like move on to the next question.
Okay.
You're going to say like Junie B. Jones or something. Okay. So it's just like,
no, because
Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
No. Ow. Okay, If You Give a Mouse a Cookie. This is my favorite book. Actually.
The Rainbow Fish.
The Hungry, Hungry Caterpillar. No, literally. Okay. It's actually the Berenstain Bears. So,
okay, is it the Berenstain or Berenstain? Have you seen this?
So it's Berenstain, but I'm just never going to ever say that in my life.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
It's Berenstain.
It's giving Mandela effect. It's
Mandela effect. Yep. Okay. That's my Roman Empire. It's the Mandela effect.
Okay. I'm with you.
Okay. No, actually. Okay. Let me think. I'm honestly not that much of a reader. I want to be more because I used to read a lot when I was younger, but mm-hmm. just, you know, lack of time.
Yeah.
And so then it's like I get to the weekends and I'm like, maybe I could read my book. And I'm like, well, I haven't gotten a chance to play those video games in a while. So mm-hmm. I'm going to hop on that. She literally, if I'm like not responding, she's like, well, she was either asleep or playing video games. So.
It's one of those two. Or she fell asleep while playing video games. Well. That's something.
Yeah. Okay. But I think a book that I've really enjoyed reading, I'll say that, not my favorite. I don't know if I have a favorite, but mm-hmm. I really enjoyed reading this book called The Confidence Code. And I actually read that with my old team at Wisconsin. And I just thought it was super interesting because it really gave me a lot of insights and just kind of some perspective. Mm-hmm. It's basically about women, and it just kind of delves into why we are the way we are in terms of confidence levels, and why women typically have such lower confidence levels while men just have higher ones. Mm-hmm. And it's like, maybe they're even less qualified, like for a job or something. Yep. And they are, mm-hmm. you know, far more confident and might even get that position because of it. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was super interesting. And then it also, in the book, they talked to a few teams from the WNBA, and even hearing them, it's crazy, like hearing very successful women doubt themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because then I like think, and I'm like, I see that in myself, where mm-hmm. like something else I struggle with is I kind of like gaslight myself sometimes. Like I'll just, I'll feel something, and then I'll like, and I'm like, nah, but like you're playing it up or something. Mm-hmm. And like, I like don't trust how I'm feeling.
Yeah. You're being dramatic.
Yep. I'll tell myself exactly. And that's mm-hmm. a thing, because I feel like women hear that often. Yep. So now it's just like the default to assume that, but mm-hmm. it was super interesting hearing that perspective. And I think about it a lot, and things that I read in that book a lot, honestly.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny. I think that's something that we're starting to see a lot more in the media, is women and then like sports being mm-hmm. confident and being themselves, mm-hmm. and you're seeing some of the backlash, and now people are finally picking up on it.
Yep.
So I think that's super interesting, because I think that everything that you talked about, like with the W, and like it's finally starting to, people are starting to realize mm-hmm. that you can be super successful, and then when you're confident as a woman, they're like, what, stop, like what are yes. you like, but no, men do it all the time. So I think it's especially exactly. like when I think of LSU athletics, like we have some
absolutely,
I can't say that. I can't say that word. I was going to say bad. Yeah. Anyways, you know what I was going to say. We have some really confident, amazing women mm-hmm. like in this athletic department, and so many things get said because you're not used to seeing confident women be confident.
Yeah.
And like full of themselves. So it's really cool, like hearing you talk about that book.
No, absolutely. I mean, mm-hmm. That's such a huge thing, because mm-hmm. it's like, for women to be successful, it's like they also have to be like, I don't know how I got here. Like, and it's like, no, I put in all of that work to get here.
Literally.
I put myself here. Mm-hmm. Why, you know, it's kind of unlearning. There's a lot of unlearning
yes.
that has to be done
yeah.
for us just in general, where, you know, society, that's kind of what we grew up in. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're not supposed to make waves. Mm-hmm. It's all of this. We're supposed to be good and just yeah. kind of quiet and like, you don't have to worry about us, whatever, but like, yeah. let's make waves.
Yeah. No, what you just said reminded me of the Barbie movie. There's that one section where like they get entranced by the Kens, and she's like, I don't know how I got this. Uh-huh. I'm so not qualified.
Yes. Da, 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 da.
And then all of a sudden she's like, what do you mean? I'm a doctor. I'm just like, that's yes. such a prime example of that. Like when you said that, that played in my brain.
Literally.
No. Agreed. Period. Mic drop. Last question. Best question, since we both love food. Your last meal on earth. You can get in depth as you want. You can have as many, well, I don't want to say as many. Like, let's be realistic here.
So are we talking courses or what?
let's be realistic.
Asking the hard-hitting questions.
You can have like a dessert, a beverage or two. Like, be realistic. You know what I mean? But
my last meals, I would just spend 24 hours at an all-you-can-eat buffet. Yeah. No, okay. I got you. Okay. I think, okay, for my drink, mm-hmm. honestly, I'm going to go with the Shirley Temple.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Can't go wrong.
A good Shirl?
a good kitty cocktail?
A good kitty cocktail. Miss Temple, I'm not going to lie, I didn't know they were called kitty cocktails until at some point in Madison when I was in Wisconsin, and I ordered a Shirley Temple, and they were like, a kitty cocktail, and I was like, whatever. I was like,
yeah, fine.
It was like, sure. Fine. anyway, I think okay. it's gonna have to be a random combination of foods, because I've got a few favorite foods that are just, they don't go together at all, because sushi is my favorite food. Mm-hmm. So that would have to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Any specific role
or
anything you want in your role? Like,
well, I think the only two requirements that have to be on this role are eel and avocado.
Okay.
I love eel. Yeah. I love avocado.
Okay.
Give me avocado straight, please. Anyway, I also like ribs, so I think this would be like an interesting. No, I love ribs.
It's just the sushi and ribs.
That's why I said it's not going to go together at all. And honestly, my stomach might turn over on this day. But if this is my last meal,
yep, last
I'm
meal
going out with a bang.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going out with a bang, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's think. So yeah, I think those are going to be that.
Okay. It's like your entrees.
Yeah. Yep. I think I'll have miso soup as an appetizer.
Okay.
Wait.
No fried pickles?
I have too many favorite foods. Okay, maybe a couple of fried pickles.
Okay.
I think, okay.
Splash on the side.
Actually, scratch this entire thing.
Oh my,
I'm just kidding, I'm kidding, not the entire thing. But I think my favorite last meal would be a combination. My favorite thing to do when I eat is have a bunch of, a little bit of everything.
Like a platter.
Like a platter uh-huh. of everything. That's why I love charcuterie boards. So if mm-hmm. I could have like, literally like two ribs, some sushi, I have some miso soup, I have clam chowder, I had this and that, and like this is obviously not really the question, but yeah. And I think for dessert, my favorite cookies ever are these Nestle Toll House Pecan Turtle Delight cookies. Man, I don't know what's in them cookies, but they'll do it every time for me.
Are you like having it with a glass of milk kind of cookie?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, and I'm lactose intolerant. And that's also the thing is with that, for dessert, I'm having a milkshake too. Because I growing up, that was my favorite drink ever, an eggnog. I would have an eggnog milkshake because I love eggnog. That's my favorite drink ever.
That is such a crazy array of foods that I was not expecting.
No, that's why I said, if it's the last meal, I'm just going to eat a bunch of random things that I like. It's not going to be cohesive at all.
Okay. I like it. Solid answers. Okay, well, is there anything that you would like to say in closing? Those are all the questions I have for you. Anything else that you would like to say?
Stay slay. Just no. I don't know. I think I just kind of want to reiterate what we were saying earlier about mm-hmm. if you're, and honestly, not even if you're young and growing up, because like we said, women in general just struggle with confidence. Mm-hmm. But that's one thing is to believe in yourself, mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, if no one else is in your corner, you are. And that is a big thing. And obviously you can have people and to surround yourself with people that are good and help support you and love mm-hmm. you, but believe in yourself, take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I actually think I do want to share, because you shared this with me and it's stuck with me so much. It was, we were talking about who your biggest role model is. And it was,
Matthew
McConaughey made a speech, right?
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, you could probably tell us better than I am. But basically, the gist of it is that he said that his biggest role model was himself in
10 years.
Mm-hmm. And I was like,
I think he made the speech at the Oscars for anyone who wants to find this. It's like a legendary speech he gives.
And I, like, once she told me that, because I was talking about how sometimes I don't exactly capitalize on the opportunities I have. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dang, you're so right. Like, so if you have a risk, take it. If you have an opportunity, do it. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
I love it. Okay, well, everyone, that concludes the second episode of Go Big with B. Jade, thank you so much for being my first guest. I always have the best time talking to you.
Thank you for having me.
I love you so very much.
This was so fun.
And yeah, I mean, obviously stay tuned. Watch us kick some butt this season for LSU volleyball. And let me know any other guests or any questions you guys would like me to answer in future episodes. And again, thanks for tuning in.